I think for them just to review their site and hit it with the simple stick, you know, really try and simplify it so there's one main call to action.
This is Superfast Business with James Schranko. James Schranko. Helping you build your business super fast.
James Schranko here. Welcome back to another special interview podcast on superfastbusiness.com. Love to get a hold of experts and talk about things that are really impacting the internet business space. Today's topic is what makes a great website design, and the particular focus is on design. So I've reached out to one of my good friends, and really is actually a good friend, and also a member of my Silver Circle Mastermind. Welcome, Greg Merrilees from Studio1Design.com.
G'day, James. How are you, man?
Good. So are you burning up down there in Melbourne right now?
Actually, it's a bit cooler today, but it has been ridiculous. It's just too extreme down here. But yeah, today's bearable.
Now, with your business, you've been focused heavily on design in many traditional industries, and you had a design studio. You were doing some cool stuff with T-shirts, but also some unusual items. What sort of things have you been designing in the last few years?
Mainly websites, actually. For the last probably 4 years, I developed my own websites and, trying to work out what converts and build a site that's better based around conversion. And in doing that, you know, I started doing it for friends and then eventually started doing it professionally. So that was, four years ago that we started. And now I guess we concentrate on designing for marketers like yourself that have your own clientele.
Right. What are some of the most unusual things you've designed? I went to your studio and you had some unusual merchandise there.
Yeah, I guess over the years, so we've had the design studio for 14 years or thereabouts. And over the years, we've pretty much sifted and shifted through all sorts of products. So we've done, we've done thongs, we've done packaging.
Now, you should clarify that for the non-Australians. You're talking about flip-flops, right?
Yeah, good point. Yeah. Having said that, though, we have done some designs for a brand called Hanky Panky at Bras and Things, and, yeah, that's more the other thong. But anyway, so we've done seat cover designs, we've done DVD covers, backpacks, accessories for clothing, T-shirts themselves, pajamas, anything to do with fashion, basically. Style guides for brands, brand logos, etc. The works, you know, billboards, point of sale, everything.
Right. So does any of this fashion design carry across to a functional, high converting website?
I would say yes, in the sense that it follows trends. And so websites change because of, technology and, in my opinion, it's really just to keep people, like designers, in business. So if design never changed, then there'd be no need for designers. So I believe that's a big part of why things always change. And also people get bored and sick of looking at the same thing.
Right. So I guess you would have your own ethos on what makes a good design. Have you got some values or standards that you always draw back upon?
Yeah, absolutely. So I guess with web design, we try and match the professionalism of, the business that we're designing for, or we might try and, raise it up to the next level for them. But generally with websites, we're trying to design a site that will convert into paying customers. So we just follow a set of simple rules that, help with that process.
Okay, so give me some of those rules.
Yeah, sure. So, for starters, I don't think there's anything, there's no such thing as a perfectly designed website. And that's mainly because, prospects all think differently. They have different opinions on what they like and what they find easy to use. Although that is our goal, to make it easy to use and make it easy for the, for the end user to understand. So we would start with, say, a questionnaire that's based on establishing, the purpose of the website, to learn more about what the client wants and likes. And that eliminates a lot of time wasting when we're designing as well. We then establish what the client wants in the way of their offer and what they're offering to their client, and if they have a marketing funnel or not. And if not, we try to help them with that. And so Basically, our goal is to create a website that's designed to convert prospects into clients for our clients. So we, first of all, if they haven't got an offer, you know, we try and help them with that. But the offer is generally something like a free offer, like an ebook, free trial period, a free training course, like you have, James, which is purely just to get people onto your email list so you can build trust and rapport. And so then you can market to them later or just keep building that trust. So it really just eliminates any risk or doubt that they may have, you know, with buying from you, especially as a cold customer.
Well, I think in my case, it's not even just to get them on my database. It's actually, I truly believe I can help someone more if I can stay in touch with them. And the evidence for me is the 7-day follow-up that I do when someone downloads Wealthification for free.
Nice.
It's kind of like a, hey, how's it going? Did you enjoy the course? And a lot of people said, oh, thanks so much for the reminder. You know, I got it and I stopped going through it. I think sometimes in this period of overload, people need a bit of a hand. So it's a good thing to do to get your customer onto an email list. And I imagine that that features on most of the sites you're designing.
Yeah, absolutely. It's pretty much crucial. And usually, you know, it's either in the form of a pop-up like Clay Collins's new lead boxes, where it's really, you know, just a button that then will pop up with fields for them to enter their details to download or get access to the free content. But yeah, so then also with the website, you know, we really concentrate on the main call to action, which is, you know, the main focus of the site. And it's really what you want your visitors to do next and ultimately take them through your sales funnel. And usually one call to action works better than multiple. For instance, if we look at your silver circle, James, it's really, you know, you have your opt-in at the top, but then it's such a simple site that, and it's really just trying to get people to register. So you have one big clear call to action. Yes, I'm ready.
Yeah, that site was designed by you. You made the template for it, and I gave it to our web design team to code out and build on top of the website. Yeah, people might think it's strange that I'm talking to a website designer when I have my own team, but I think you have very unique designs, and you've done t-shirts for me. You've done my logos. I mean, James Dyson used to do my logos, but he's busy running a multi-million dollar software business. It's very nice that you've been able to help me with designs. But I remember telling you my vision for Silver Circle and how I just thought I just want a nice silver circle and very simple, because a lot of people hear about it from somewhere other than the website. When they get there, I want them to have an experience. That's why we put the documentary, and then it flows through to a series of nice, clean videos. And I'm actually just uploading the new ones now, just in a simple white t-shirt. I'm making the whole site simple and elegant. But I can tell you that changing that design seems to have helped the conversions, because the minimum entry to Silver Circle is now quarterly payments. So the entry price has gone up, but it hasn't slowed down applications or conversions to full paying members. It's probably increased. So I think having impeccable design is vital, especially now that Google have removed the keyword data from our search results. The thing that we really can tell from the Google Webmaster Tools is the search queries for people looking for a brand are very strong. People are coming in hot looking for my name, my website names, and I can control that and I can make my design memorable. Now, I think you've got a couple of ideas around what every design must have. Let's go through your checklist.
Yeah, sure. So I think you hit the nail on the head with the keyword being simplicity. And I think that's really well reflected in silvercircle.com. So basically simplicity, but it also needs to get the message across, you know. And if we look at, for instance, your main headline on your site, grow your business profits faster, it's pretty clear. And that's what you're going to do for your customers. So having a clear headline is really crucial, and it needs to be compelling as well and something that's, you know, of interest to the visitor. Then also, I think we've discussed call to action. So copywriting is another thing that can significantly, you know, make or break a site. And most small business owners try to do copywriting themselves and can get it horribly wrong. So I'd highly advise getting like a copywriter to professionally, you know, write your sales message. And so then also, I think one thing that we try to do is we use color. Generally, we use color like in a limited color palette. And far too often we see websites just have way too many colors in them and they just make you feel sick. So we usually start with a limited color palette and it, you know, it will reflect the client's logo if they have one. But then what we do with color also is make the call to action stand out. So that's usually in a contrast color. And fonts as well, we try and use Google Web fonts and we also try and use, you know, maybe just one font family rather than a million fonts. So that just once again helps congruency across the site and just keeps it more user-friendly and easier to look at. Then also the, there's elements that we use throughout the site that, you know, try and once again tie in with the brand's values, etc. And we also change those elements up on a regular basis, depending on what current trends are. So at Studio One, we have a team of designers that are passionate about design and they compete with each other, which is great. So they're always researching the latest trends and looks just to stay on top of the game and just compete against each other, basically. So some of those elements that we've used in 2013, like flat design, clean design, circles are pretty popular, video backgrounds, vector characters, which are just large, you know, flat looking characters. And then trends that we're seeing in 2014, color palettes that are based on like fashion trends. So it's always like trends in general in design, they're quite global. And, you know, we often see trends that are on TV commercials or in movies or in packaging design or in magazines and websites that all have similar kind of looks and feels. So we try and keep up to date with those global trends. And lately we've seen mixed typography coming in, which I think is quite nice if it's done well. It can look quite messy if it's not.
Well, you're going to have to explain what some of these things are.
Sure.
For example, flat design rolls off the tongue, but what does it mean?
Yeah, sure. So basically, it just means if we go back, say, even 3 years, if we talk about a button design, a button on a website, it used to be really glossy and beveled and had drop shadows everywhere. But nowadays, it's literally just flat color. And it might have slightly rounded corners, still looks like a button. But yeah, that's the trend at the moment in button design. It's quite flat. And just in general, color backgrounds, they used to be quite multicolored and have effects all through them, but now it's just flat. And I guess it comes down to being more user-friendly. So I think that's why the trend is emerging.
Right. So I've been, I noticed Apple's iOS system went flat on the last update.
Yes. Yeah. Even the Google logo has gone flat. So, yeah, the big boys are doing it and, you know, they do it for usability, in my opinion. And if you look at mobile phones, like the latest iOS is a lot flatter and cleaner and simpler.
And we've done that with the font on our video thumbnails. They're just big Helvetica new flat letters. It's easy to read what the video's about. It seems to help engagement and it looks kind of consistent when you look at a row of videos on the YouTube channel.
Yes, exactly. Yeah, fully agree. And it's more user-friendly. That's right. And what else we got?
Well, you had you mentioned vector characters.
Yeah. So if you look at, you know, services like Zendesk, for instance, they have this big pop-up genie type of character. And it's quite flat looking once again. There's no shading. And that's a big trend at the moment.
Is that like the surfer I have on my Superfast Business Live logo?
No, that's different. So
what's that one?
So that's a t-shirt design.
Right. So it's a very engaging design. Everyone I've showed it to, like, yeah, that's cool.
Yeah, and it's different. And I think that's part of what makes a design good. If it's unique, you know, and different to what everyone else is doing, and you're very good at that, James.
Well, I am until everyone copies my site. I can't tell you how many versions of Superfast Business there must be out there now. And it's because I go and talk about how it's converting. I've paid conversion specialists to help me, like Pep Liar. I have done a lot of analytics and testing, and then I get Clay Collins to help me speed up the opt-ins and everything. So it works well. What would you say about that where someone says, okay, well, James has a site. It's obviously going well. I'll just make a version of that. How does that affect my uniqueness and their uniqueness?
Yeah, it's terrible when people do that. But, you know, we do get that request a lot. They want to be similar to other sites. So,
well, I bet you everyone says Apple.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
Make it like Apple and make it pop.
You got it. You got it. Yeah.
That's what we get in our web design brief as well.
Yeah. You got it. And so it's quite difficult when, you know, they've got their mindset on something, but they don't have imagery of their products that are nice as Apple's, for instance. So, and then we rely on like, you know, royalty free design sites to try and, you know, collect images and create images based on what we think they want. And it can be quite challenging.
Yeah. So trends coming down the pipeline, one of the ones you also mentioned was mixed typography. I'd love you to tell me what that means.
Yeah, sure. So it's just a trend that, you know, may not be a huge trend, but it's something that I just love the look of, and it really stems from t-shirt designs. So in t-shirt designs, we do use a lot of, you know, different fonts to just make things look unique, and we customize fonts. So we'll start with a font and then we'll just add bits and pieces to it. And then we work out which fonts complement other fonts, and we just mix in different fonts together. And that's essentially what mixed typography is, just finding fonts that work well together. And, you know, you might have a tagline or a USP that we'll, you know, use mixed typography for to create a nice design.
Right. So the thing that really introduced us was when you started designing ThinkCatGet website pages and a t-shirt for us, as a freelance marketing initiative. You just pretty much kept sending us designs until we couldn't refuse you anymore. Now, I want to stress again, our own team coded those designs out. So that's the way we like to get the designs, is to get the raw design and then to build it around our framework. And that's been a great partnership. And I know you do that for other web developers as well.
Yeah.
So would you say you're biased in the design part of the website, or do you do a lot of building in the background?
No, not at all. We don't build at all. So no, we purely do design. You know, that's our strong suit. And yeah, I wouldn't even begin to try and take on the coding.
Yeah.
Well, there's too much.
Well, that's it. We do the design part and the building and the coding. But in the case of your designs, they really are very specialized and they've got a unique look and feel. You've been putting out t-shirts for a bunch of other podcasts. You've had Clay Collins. You've sent them for Ezra and I for both of our shows, plus our ThinkCatGet podcasts. You've also had a few others. Who else have you added to your list of podcasters who are wearing a Greg Merrilies Studio One design?
So we just yesterday sent a couple of designs to Gary Vaynerchuk, and I got a personal email from him saying, unfortunately, he's committed to, you know, a merch company or whatever. So that was a shame. But we've also done it for Dan and Ian, Tropical MBA, David Seidman Garland, Rise to the Top, John Lee Dumas and Tim Page from Love Your Leap, John Lee Dumas from Entrepreneur on Fire. We've got Tim Reed from Freedom Ocean, of course, and from Small Business Big Marketing. John Dwyer from WOW Marketing Accelerator. Who else? Just looking at, in fact, if you want to have a look at them, go to successshirt.com. There's a heap of yours on there, James. And in fact, my favorite one is the latest one, which is a t-shirt for your event, Super Fast Business Live.
Yeah, I'm really happy with that. And that was an important one for me because I switched from my long established brand of which was up to its fifth event, and moved to Superfast Business brand, but I really wanted to have the live element. And the cool thing about that design is I think I can use that for each of my live events. So, you know, if I'm doing one a year, it will really become known to my audience, and we carry it on our sidebar widget.
Awesome.
It'll look fantastic on a T-shirt, especially in the surfy culture of Manly. I'm sure these T-shirts will be worth a discount in any coffee shop around Manly, probably, because they'll know that it's me. And I'm kind of a regular in most of them. So
can't wait for that event.
Yeah. How else do you see design being important for the average online marketer?
Well, I think it can raise their profile. You know, a lot of people will try and get like their cousin or their neighbor's whatever to design a website for them because they're trying to save money, but it's really hurting their business. And in my opinion, they should invest in design to, you know, not only match their professionalism, but maybe raise it up a notch or two. And you can certainly do that with design. Smoke and mirrors.
Well, we don't want smoke and mirrors. We just want to, I guess it's more of framing, isn't it? Putting the,
good way to put it.
Putting a frame around the picture that lends itself, you know, like you have the Mona Lisa with a crappy frame. It's not going to pop the same sort of result as having a beautiful, ornate, themed period frame.
Yeah.
So tell me, sort of as we close out, I love just a quick recap. It's really important to understand the brief. It's very important to have an offer. It's best when combined with sales copy. It should pick up the trends and style that people are used to seeing and looking for. And we can take clues from big companies like Google and, you know, Apple and what those guys are doing. We should have a very clear and obvious, simple call to action. A brand is memorable. It's how we feel about the company. Very easy to understand. And it positions us in a way that should be different and valuable compared to everybody else. Am I sort of on track there?
Oh, mate, spot on. Absolutely spot on.
Right. And your website is studio1design.com. That's a great domain, Greg.
Yeah, thanks, James. Yeah, James helped me get that one.
Yeah, anyway, thank you so much for coming and sharing Design Talk. Obviously, the design should flow through from every element. When you were helping me, we did our Twitter, Google+, Facebook page, our main website. All of the things should tie together and get that consistency across different platforms so that people will instantly recognize who they're dealing with, right?
Absolutely. Yep. You got a congruency throughout.
So I'm going to ask you, what's your biggest tip that you could offer someone listening to this that they could use to take action today? Like, one action might be to engage a professional designer if they've been trying to snap things together with, Photoshop themselves. I mean, it's so easy to churn out crap design. I'm sure there's probably some talented guys on Fiverr, but I bet there's a lot who aren't. And there's lots of these logo generators and cheap logos. I'm sure they're killing a business more than they're helping it. What would be the best action step for someone to take right now?
I think for them just to review their site and hit it with the simple stick, really try and simplify it. So there's one main call to action.
Right. So it could be what can we take away?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, good point. What can we take away and not add? Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, that's where I start. I've been finding my statue of David under that block of marble and finally hit on the formula. When it all comes down to it, it's actually frighteningly obvious and simple that your business is going to depend on having that very clear offer and helping people understand that it's just right for them. And often that's just a few videos and a clickable button framed up in a nice display. And thanks so much for the design you did on silvercircle.com. It's a beautiful site. I'm very happy with it. It gets the results. Thank you for the designs on Superfast Business Live. The logo is stunning. I think it's going to really resonate with people who attend the event. Thanks for helping with Think at Get, man. You're a superstar. I proudly wear the shirt. Check out Greg's other designs at successshirt.com. Thanks so much for being on the show.
Yeah, thanks for having me, James. Really appreciate it.
Discover how to build your business
super fast.
Check out superfastbusiness.com.